Well, we got a great program for you here, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. Well, tonight, the functions of angels. You don't want to miss this series. It's about the divine beings called the Watchers. And they're watching. They're waiting patiently. You know, some people just don't have enough patience to wait on Yahweh. The Bible said, wait on Yahweh, be of good courage, and he'll strengthen the heart. Well, that's some of the functions of angels. I've had a few encounters with what I believe to be divine beings. Sometimes it's a thin line. You know, there's dark angels, and then there's light angels. There's angels that are of righteousness, and then there's angels that are not so righteous. There's angels that are known as death angels. There's angels known as sexual pervert angels. They're always trying to tempt you to do things and to say things. There's anger angels. You know, you carry a host of angels within your spirit field, what we call the force field, and may the force be with you tonight as we borrow a phrase from Star Wars. You know, it's strange. I was listing the duties of angels, and Satan is an angel of the air. He's the he was known in the days of the pagan gods as the god of the fly. I mean, you know, he's the you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but against angels in high places. So, the first function that was ever assigned an angel, do you know what it is? In a biblical revelation, do you know the first function of an angel? The first assignment. They were to guard the way of the tree of life in Genesis 3:24. And so they drove man out and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the tree of life. Now, that's always been a puzzling a scripture to me. It shouldn't be if we know the functions of the angels. Now, in Acts 7:53, Stephen is preaching. And he's preaching about angels. And the 53rd verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, he declared, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now, if they are to guard the way of the tree of life, with a flaming sword. Now, a flaming sword would indicate that the gospel or the angels who are ministering spirit is to give us the disposition of the flaming sword or the gospel and the spoken word. And they are to see and judge how it's received. Now, the Bible says that we have someone, evidently, I don't know how the function works, but it's amazing to me because I actually believe it happens. How it does, I don't know. But that our hairs on our very head are numbered. Now, how would you like to be an angel? Just assigned. Now, angels are not assigned to everybody. Now, don't get in your mind that every time you see 7 billion people running around here, we got 7 billion angels plus running back and forth counting hairs or counting steps. The Bible said your steps are ordered of Yahweh. Now, how are you going to resolve the problem here? Well, it's very simple. Say it with me. Straight is the way. Now, in Numbers chapter 22, it's an illustration of the straight way. And the little donkey saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the narrow way and his sword drawn. See that right there it is. They're still ministering spirits. You are the tree of life, if so be that you have life in you. Christ said, as he spoke in the word of John, if you believe in me, you'll never die. So you have to be a living being from the tree of life. Now, I know your physical body's going to die. It's once appointed for that. Your physical man is not going to heaven because the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And Yahweh's anger was kindled against Balaam as he went. And the angel of Yahweh stood in the way as an adversary against him. For he was riding up on his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her back into the way. Now when you turn aside from the way yourself, it's hard for you to get back on the right road. And for you to gain access to the kingdom road, the narrow way, straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Here is a preacher trying to preach for money. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Most of the people in the bell box churches are listening to Baal or Balaam, those who sell out for a filthy lucre. They get a position. They get a salary. You know, if Yahweh would, you know, just all of a sudden cut everybody's pay out, that you didn't get no more pay for preaching, and you didn't get any income, how many preachers do you believe, for the love of the gospel and for the love of the souls of those who have to obey the gospel, or receive the gospel, or the gospel revealed, how can you hear without a preacher, the Bible said? How many of you think would be preaching? Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. And the ass saw the angel of Yahweh. Now, when an ass can see it, and you can't, which is greater? You think about that. When a dumb animal, supposedly, this dumb brute, this servant to Balaam riding his ass, the little donkey, when he saw the angel, he turned aside and went out into a field. And Balaam brought him back into the path. And there was a path that stood that went through the vineyards. And there was a wall on one side and a wall on that side. In other words, he's going down a narrow corridor, which would represent the narrow way. And when the ass saw the angel of Yahweh with his sword drawn, she was a female ass, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he beat her again. Notice this. Sometimes when we get angry, sometimes when we get greedy, something will happen to try to turn us and to restore us, because in this, something bad had to happen, and it crushed his foot. And the angel of Yahweh went further and stood again in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. Now, that's when you get on the straight way. The angels are always looking to keep you on the straight way. So there is what we call guardian angels, an angel assigned for the distinct purpose, as it's recorded in Acts 7:53, we receive the law by the disposition of angels. They were sent or deposed to guard us, to keep us straight. And oh, how they try. But sometimes anger, greed, jealousy, envy, strife, carnal mind, not being subject to the angel. And when the ass saw the angel of Yahweh, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. Still beaten on the ass because he wanted to wander out of the way, the straight and narrow way, and he wanted to pursue the pursuit of money, filthy lucre, the Bible calls it. And so the function of an angel is to help you in life. Oh, I just wish that we all had the eyes of the ass. How we could see more clearly. Sometimes when people look through the eyes of nature or carnal or carnality, we look through greed, we look through the glasses of, now I could make a lot of money by doing this, or I could gain a lot by doing this, and something would get in your way and hinder you, and you think that it's the devil trying to hinder you, and sometimes Yahweh has to send an ass to straighten you up so that you won't wander out of the way. And the ass saw the angel of Yahweh. Don't you wish that we had the eyes of an ass? Wouldn't it be nice that if we could determine that there's an angel in our presence? Now, if we have an angel assigned to keep us on the narrow way, as it's recorded in Numbers 22:22 through 27, where I just read, then we would do well to read the book of Numbers, chapter 22, and study that as a lesson of the flame and sword to keep us in the way. When you are opposed at some of the things that you do, it may not be the devil. It just could be your guardian angel who is trying to keep you from going on a trip at a certain time, from meeting a friend at a certain time. You don't know. I have often wondered, you know, you get delayed. I've had car trouble. And wondered, you know, you try to look for the, you know, the Bible said in all things, give thanks for this is the will of Yahweh in the fifth chapter of First Thessalonians. In all things, give thanks. And I've tried to look at the wisdom of that statement. And when you have a flat tire, and it delays you a couple hours, and you're already late to start with. The sun's hot, like it was with when old Jonah went preaching across Nineveh. The sun come up, very hot, and he was waiting on the wrath and the judgment. Sometimes we want to see things happen our way, and there's always an ass in the way to slow you down, or to forbid you, or to take you another way. It's amazing. Sometimes an ass works out pretty good. You say, hey, that fellow just acted like an ass. But sometimes an ass has got more spiritual discernment than you could give them credit for. Now, let me show you something about the function of an angel. Sometimes angels when there's a special person to be born into the world, sometimes an angel would announce that birth, like Stephen was talking about, the disposition of an angel, that the law was received by the disposition of an angel, and people wouldn't keep it. Did you know that in Judges chapter 13, that Samson was sent into the parents of the family of the Danites, Zorah? There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bared not. And the angel of Yahweh appeared unto the woman and said, "The children of Israel are doing evil in the sight of Yahweh. And Yahweh has delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, 40 years is a sign of judgment. Sometimes when you do evil, the angel of Yahweh will deliver you for chastisement. 40 years of it. Now, in this case, this was symbolically and spiritually assigned to the house of Israel or the family of Israel. And then, at the end of the 40 years, or near the end of the 40 years, the certain man of Zorah, the Danite, whose name was Manoah, the angel of Yahweh came unto the woman and said unto her, "Behold, now thou art barren, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Now, isn't this amazing that they know the future? Angels know the future. This is sheer angelic prophecy. Now, therefore, this is what the angel said to do. "I pray you, please, do not drink any wine, nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing." Oh, boy, right there. The Baptists wouldn't go along with that. They have to have pork. Still do. I don't guess they could qualify, because that's an unclean meat. Swine's flesh. They'll eat anything, don't eat them. They'll come out here in these restaurants after Sunday school or after they go to church on Sunday and act like a bunch of swine at the table, grunting, and their bellies stretched as far out over their belt. They're well fed with unclean food. They couldn't qualify. Don't drink wine. Don't drink strong drink. And do not eat anything unclean. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Sometimes you need to keep your body, which is the temple of Yahweh, you need to keep it clean. Don't put nothing in that body that you don't need. I'm going to repeat that. You know, I used to smoke cigarettes. And I love cigarettes. And I know people that have smoked to be 100 years old or somewhere around there. Some of the old people and back in the old days. Seem like people don't live that long now, but because they've doctored it up and put so much junk in it. But people used to smoke, so I'm not saying that cigarette smoking will shorten your life. But I was told by the Holy Ghost, when I was praying over a certain physical problem, that if I wanted to have victory, this scripture now, it's remained with me ever since. The night that he woke me up and said, if I want victory, that I'd have to lay down my cigarettes. I said, you know, I had felt like doing that many times. I'd quit many times before. But this was a voice from heaven. I believe this was an angel that night. As I tossed and turned in the bed, couldn't sleep, And I prayed. I said, Father, if you show me what I'm doing, I'll quit it. I know it's something physically I'm doing. And a cigarette, it often condemned me. I knew it wasn't right. But at that time, cigarettes was the first thing from my mind. I thought I was misrepresenting the gospel or doing something of that nature or eating something that I shouldn't eat. And maybe I need to fast more. At that time, I fasted quite a bit. And cigarettes were my greatest weakness. I could give everything up but cigarettes. And he said, if you want judgment and victory, then you've got to give up cigarettes. Well, I said to myself, I fought that off. You know, just like Balaam fought off the ass, you know. I thought that, I just shrugged that off. But then the voice said, get up and open your Bible. And I got up and I turned to this is amazing. It's a big old Bible, the one that I had bought and the one that I had read many times through, the one I'd studied in, the one I'd made my notes in, and it was there on my nightstand, and I just picked it up and I opened it up randomly. I had no idea where I opened it, but I opened it up, and just for the sake and curiosity, something said, read where you open. And I read it, and it was in the 20th chapter, so help me. If I never get through this message, so help me. It was the 20th chapter of Matthew in the 12th verse. Smoking flax shall he not quench until he brings forth judgment to victory. And the Spirit said, if you want victory, quit smoking. And there I was. So sometimes these angels will tempt you by these little no-harm sins, you know. I mean, you know, what's in a little 4-inch cigarette? You just go out and light up, and I know how the addiction is. It really hooks you. I had to have them. I couldn't live without them. I'd get up at the midnight hour, and if I didn't have them, I'd go get them. If it was snowing, this is the truth. I have walked in a snowstorm. There was a little convenience market down below me, and the car wouldn't make it. The car was off the road, ice, and everything else. And I would literally put on my walking boots and my heavy clothing, and I'd walk to the convenient market, which was probably around a half a mile from my house. And I'm talking late. Stayed open all night. And I'd go down there and buy me a whole carton of cigarettes if I was out. And I'd get me two or three lighters and a box of matches or whatever. Because there's nothing worse than having a cigarette and no match. You don't want to get caught like that. And so, you see, when you love things more or can't do without things, I can do without food. I've done without food 40 days. That was no problem. I tried to do without cigarettes for 3 days, and so help me, I failed because I broke my vow and had to smoke a cigarette. And the devil set me up when I was going to walk to the top of the mountain, and me and my brother, and we was going to have a 3-day fast. We'd already pre-planned it. And, you know, I guess maybe the Bible says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is going to do. So we planned it and purposed it and took us a jug of water. And when I got out of the car, my friend was on one side and I was on the other side, and I put my cigarettes under the front seat. He didn't know I smoked. And something said, you better take them with you just in case that you need a fire or something. It was in the summertime. I don't just use an excuse. But get your matches. At least get your matches. Well, the book of matches was down in the cellophane of my cigarette pack, and it was a long pack of pale males. So I just reached under the seat instead of taking the match, which is what I should have done. Psychologically, I know it was reverse psychology. I wanted those cigarettes in my pocket. Because the devil tempt me. Sometimes angels will tempt you and it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Here the angel said, I pray that you won't drink wine or strong drink or eat anything unclean. Well, you know, when you smoke cigarettes, you're eating nicotine. It is something that tastes very good. I mean, you like that taste of that. I did. I mean, there's one thing that I always like to do when I smoke cigarettes, and that's eat peanut butter and cracker and get me a Coke and smoke a cigarette. Man, that was a good combination. Tasted so good. Notice what you need to do is to clean your life up. Turn aside from every little weight and sin that so easily besets you, and run the race with patience. Don't eat anything unclean. Do not drink wine or strong drink. And you're going to conceive and bear a son, and the child shall be a Nazarite to Yahweh from the womb to the day of his death. Now look at that. A Nazarite would never cut his hair. Uh-oh. There was an angel. And she was, I'd say probably she weighed 95 pounds or 100 pounds. I know she was a knockout. Had to be to turn this man, Samson, who grew up to be a mighty man. He could carry the gates to the city. Now these gates were reported to be at least 13 to 14 feet high and 10 foot wide, two of them. He carried both of them out of the city, took the gates off of their stronghold, carried them out of the city, and they were amazed that one man could pack off a gate that big. They talked about it for a long time. He was well known, very strong. They were all afraid of him. Then Manoah entreated Yahweh and said, Yahweh, if this is an angel which thou didst send to come again to us, let him come back and let him teach us what we should do unto the child that it should be born. And Yahweh hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of Yahweh came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And a woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man. Now, wait a minute. I thought it was an angel. And a woman made haste and ran to her husband and said, behold, the man appeared unto me again that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, are you the man that spoke unto my wife? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now, tell me the words again that is going to come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel repeated unto Manoah, of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't follow, you know, I believe, I really believe this, to continue with my problem with smoking. I believe if I'd have broke my vow, I made a vow that I'd never put another cigarette in my mouth. And so far I've kept that promise. But I believe, and many times I've been tempted to go ahead, oh, you know, you're just overreacting. You know, it's all right. Other people live to be old, and they smoke every day of their life. And I know some people that smoke in better health than I am. About as old as I am. Some of them older. So it's strange. But for myself, I knew that smoking didn't look good for a minister. I was ashamed of him. I really was. Because I came up in the Holy Church, and the Holy Church, you know, man, I mean, you put a little sin seed in your mouth to make your breath fresh or to freshen up your breath. That's a sin. Chewing gum is an absolute no-no in a holiness Pentecostal church. Cigarettes, they know you ain't got the Holy Ghost if you smoke cigarettes. They'll tell you that. And they told me that many a time. So I was sort of condemned of them. When everybody starts condemning you for doing it, you know, I hide my cigarettes, and I had a habit of putting them in the front seat, especially when I went to church. And I got up on that mountain to fast, and I lit that cigarette about the third day. Second, third day, I can't remember. Wasn't too long ago I was up there. Anyway, I broke my vow before the third day. I smoked a cigarette, and Yahweh sent one of the awfulest storms, hail, lightning. I had seen ball lightning in my life, but this time I was caught out in the middle of it, sitting on a flat rock. Here, the angel said unto her, beware, she may not eat of anything that cometh off the vine. Neither let her drink wine. Let her drink. Don't let her drink wine or strong drink. Now, this is very important to this angel. For some reason, there's something in this. And it was commanded, and let her do all that I command her, and let her observe this. And Manoah said unto the angel of Yahweh, I pray you, let us detain you until we have made ready to kill a goat for you and offer it up. And the angel of Yahweh said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if I would offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto Yahweh. For Manoah knew not that it was an angel of Yahweh. Now, have you ever really considered that you might have entertained an angel unaware? That they brought an answer to your problem to you, but it was in such a way that you didn't really take kindly to what was said in such a way. Maybe it was said to where it might have offended you just a little bit. Sometimes we can get offended at good counsel. And the devil's angels will, not only will they soothe it over, they will provoke you to sin. They will encourage you to sin. They will entice you to sin. And Manoah said unto Yahweh, what is your name? I mean, you talk about old doubting Manoah. What is your name? And the angel of Yahweh said to him, why do you ask thou after my name, seeing it is a secret? Now, ain't that strange? The angel wouldn't even tell him his name. Oh, he could have made up one. But he's working up to reveal to Manoah that it is an angel. And Manoah took a kid, that's a goat, with a meat offering and offered it up on a rock. That's where I was sitting on top of the mountain, on a rock, a flat rock, me and my brother, when the rain started. And I don't believe it had rained a drop. I hadn't smoked that cigarette. But boy, I got me a lesson. And so Manoah sat on the rock, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. And it came to pass that when they lit the flame to cook the meat, and it went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of Yahweh ascended up in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of Yahweh did no more appear to Manoah or to his wife. I know they longed to see him come back. They always leave you with another question. And they'll only tell you what they're assigned to tell you. They won't go any farther. They won't elaborate. They say exactly what they say. They're not like humans in this case. You know, I'll tell you I got a secret and, you know, and I tell you, but I can't tell you. And then the person like Delilah, when here this Nazarite, Samson, had a secret, And she found out that it was a secret and he couldn't tell her where his power came from. She wouldn't let up until she found out. See, that's the devil. There was an angel of deception working in Delilah. Now, this could have been an angel born at the same time or around the same time to counter the instruction of the good angel. And the Bible says, for that purpose, you need to pray without ceasing, lest you fall into temptation. And a woman bare the son, called his name Samson, and a child grew, and Yahweh blessed him. And the Spirit of Yahweh began to move on him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtatah. Now, in Luke chapter 1, again we have the second witness for announcement of a special person. And this was the angel that appeared unto Zacharias. And when he came into the altar of incense, the angel was standing on the right side of the altar. But the angel said unto Zacharias, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel told him to fear not, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and they shall call his name John. Now, J-O-H-N is the way you'd spell John in English. It's spelled with a Y in the Hebrew. Yahweh only, holy name. I wondered when I read Luke chapter 1 years ago, they devote 3 chapters to John. They really put the ink to the paper about John. And I wonder, why did they have to call him Yahkahama or John? And it represented the holy name. Only, that's all he did. He witnessed to him that came after him, which was Yahweh. Yahweh's only holy name. The Y, O, the H, and the N. He shall turn many of the children of Israel to Yahweh. And he shall go before Yahweh in the spirit and power of Elias. Now, I want you to remember that. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 1. He shall go before Yahweh in the spirit and power. In the spirit. He had the same spirit that went into heaven that was in Elijah. He had a different body. That's why he said he wasn't Elijah. When they asked John, he said, are you Elijah? He said, no. And he wouldn't. But the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, that he would be sent before him in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. And I told him his name. The other angel wouldn't tell him his name. Man, I've done preached myself out of time here. I've got to stop here at this point and tell you, tonight you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. If you'd like to write me tonight, you can do so by writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284 in New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you'd like to call me tonight, me being live, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, I love you very much, and I want you to study with me in this series of the function of an angel. You could have possibly been in the presence of an angel and not even known it. They can appear as a man. Manoah didn't know that this man was an angel, but he suspected. I've met people that I believe, honestly believe, were angels sent to, at certain times, to cross my path. I really believe that everyone from heaven that's down here with the tree of life with this flaming sword is nothing more than an angel in a temporary flesh body. And just because it stays here and they have weaknesses of the flesh, you wouldn't recognize them as an angel because they do things they shouldn't do. That's why we're weaker or a little lower than the angels that are not in a flesh body, but can assume a solid flesh body that can eat and drink by coming into this dimension. It's amazing. So we're going to study about angels, and we hope and trust and pray that you'll learn something about the function of an angel, and you'll start thinking about angels, and you'll start thinking about your body. And you'll think about drawing nigh unto Yahweh. The Bible said if you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. I had a little lady that rode with me from down at Hallowed Acres, and she came home with me, and she smoked cigarettes. And we were coming up the road, and we were making good conversation. We was talking and having a good time, and she enjoyed herself. And you know how you are when you go without a cigarette for about an hour. Which was an hour into the journey, which was a 3-hour journey. And she said, Pastor Buddy, would it... She got her cigarettes out and her lighter, and she said, would it bother you if I smoked as we go along? And I said, yes, ma'am, it would. And she said, well, okay, I won't do it. And I knew she wouldn't. She didn't mean any offense. She just wanted to know if it'd bother me. That was nice for her asking. And I said, sister, I said, we'll stop right up here and... we'll refresh herself, and I'll get us something to eat and drink, and then you can smoke your cigarette. She said, well, I'd be fine. So I was courteous enough to stop, and we went into a little restaurant, and we had something to eat and refreshed herself, and then she smoked her cigarette, and she got back in the truck, and we came on home. So don't be like a Pharisee. Don't let it offend you. I told her the truth. Yes, it does bother me in a close... people can smoke around me. And if it's their automobile, I'll have to roll the window down and suffer the consequences if I ride with somebody that smokes. Because I'll never tell them in their automobile to put their cigarette out. That's not my place. But most of them are courteous enough, knowing that I don't smoke, they will never infringe upon you to smoke a cigarette. And which is very nice and lovely. And the Bible said, don't... You know, some people don't eat meat. And if I was with somebody that don't eat meat, I do eat meat. But if I was with somebody that didn't eat meat, I wouldn't order me a hamburger in their presence. I'd try to eat a piece of lettuce, although it wouldn't like it and it wouldn't probably satisfy me. I would eat a piece of lettuce or a tomato or whatever, a vegetarian plate, because I know that they are, and I guess maybe in the same sense, I'm weak because I can't stand a cigarette. I used to stand them. But I quit and made a vow. And so whatever state of level of faith you're in, and we have different levels of faith. Some people they're weak enough to only eat herbs, and the brother that ate meat would be considered stronger. But the brother that ate herbs, he would be easier to offend. And Paul said, if I offend my brother by eating meat, I won't eat any meat anymore. Now, that's a strong statement. So then... We love you tonight. Praise Yahweh. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284 in New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And you can call me. Area code 423-626-2172. I've enjoyed being with you tonight on part one of the function of an angel. I'll be back tomorrow night on the late call, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 Central, around the world. And I'd like to send a greeting out to Brother Hugh and to Brother Junior. They came down here yesterday and got baptized in the wonderful name of Yahweh from Indiana. Really pleased my heart. And Sister Judy, if you're listening tonight out there in Missouri, we got a brother from over in Kansas that's planning on coming your way to baptize you at when he can work out the arrangements. We'll try to find out your physical address and find out where you live there, and we're going to get you baptized also in the name of Yahweh. We love you tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night in the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah.